Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he gathers. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew. From West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrew.
Over my sister.
Shalom, and welcome to another show. We are live. I am Sister Ashley. I'm going to introduce who's with me tonight. It's not Mother Jennifer, but before I do that, I'm jumping right into the Be a Blessing. Be a Blessing this year for Tabernacles 2023. I have about 12 things I'm going to state out loud. I'm going to say them quickly. Maybe you can write them down, and you can always reference the Straightway TV video called Be a Blessing for Tabernacles 2023. Hopefully, Sister Sakina can post that link for us tonight. If not, and you hear this on repeat, check out Straightway TV. Subscribe to their channel and find our Be a Blessing list for Tabernacles 2023 on their YouTube channel. All right, so Be a Blessing items that we would love for any of you who are able to bring or send to us Hefty Supreme 8.5-inch plates, heavy duty, okay? Hefty Supreme 12-ounce bowls, plastic spoons and forks, never any knives. 12-ounce foam cups, gallon-sized Ziploc bags, Hefty Supreme foam large to-go containers, large to-go containers. Leave a signature cloth paper towel, vanity fair napkins, 50-gallon contractor bags. Was that 12? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Not at all was it 12. It was 9. 9 items. There it is, the Be a Blessing. So what we ask is if you're able to bring in these things to our feast days, that you would call us if you're shipping it. Call us if you're shipping it. Call us if you bought it and you're bringing it and let us know. And what we do is we keep a tally, a running tally and inventory in the kitchen when we answer your phone calls and we market off our necessities. And then we don't go out to the store and we double buy it or buy things that aren't needed. So you calling and letting us know is great. And thank you to the first box that got delivered the other day, which just so happened to be a case of Ziploc bags. Bless you. And we got some sunflower oil in the mail. And you know we're using a lot of oil. Oil, olive oil, sunflower oil is to be added to the Be a Blessing. Sister Aaliyah, if you hear this, Sister Crystal of Straightway TV, bless y'all. Bless y'all again and again tonight. Thank you for listening. All praises to the Most High Yah. I'm your host tonight, Sister Ashley. I'm in the hot seat, no pressure, but by myself running this show, and I am not worried about a thing because I have Mother Chris with me tonight. Mother Chris is with me live tonight. I want to also give a shout-out to my Munchie, Mom Deidre, Mom Jaja, Mom Tawanya, JC, Mother JC, Mom Lily, Granny Barb, and Granny Ruth. Bless you to all my eight sisters. There's more of you, and I want to say double honor and thank you for listening to the show, to women who are younger than you, who are on fire for the Most High Yah. I also want to say anyone who wants to use this platform, which is our sister-to-sister show, for your Midnight Air menu items, if you want to announce it, or if you want your marketplace announcements made here, just send me an email. I will read it. If there's something that you're selling at the marketplace, if there's something that you're serving at Midnight Air, a lot of times individuals might want to surprise you with what's under their tent for Midnight Air, but I am more than willing to read your menu just to get the saints excited if you desire. That's something I'm always, you know, Tamika, Sister Gabby, anyone Marketplace, Brother David up at Cultureware. If you need me to read anything, let me know. We also have one quick announcement about kimchi being offered this year. Kimchi is probably either loved or hated, and I just so happen to love it. But it's being offered this year from Straightway Northeast. It is clean. Our kimchi is clean. And Sister Esther and Sister Rachel Regis are making it available this year. All right, so you can pre-order if you would like to pre-order. And you can purchase it by pre-order only, okay? So am I right about that, Esther? Let me know. Because on your pre-order prices, you got a pint for $5. You got a quart for $10. And then you have bring your own quart to fill it up for $8, all right? So the information, I have their phone number. I will share that phone number, but not live tonight. I will share that phone number to anyone who calls the dining hall for me or anyone who emails straightwayoutmeats@gmail.com. I'll put you in contact with Rachel and Esther, and then I'll just confirm with her anything that I may have missed tonight. You're more than welcome to text me as well, Esther. Another announcement, I want to get them out of the way because last week, I saved them for the end of the show, and then I didn't do them, so I can't do that. I can't save them for the end of the show and then forget them. All right, so Mama Nelly has asked me to say to you guys about our hoodies to give you this information on this platform. So thank you, Mama Nelly. I'm going to give you the address if you're wanting a hoodie. She is she takes care of the hoodies and the T-shirts and the things that the Hub sells. And so we have the black hoodies. There are you know, people asking for them. So it may not be you, but it's someone listening tonight. So if you want a black hoodie, it's got the Straightway Shield logo on it. The hoodie is $50. Send a money order or a check to our P.O. Box address, which I'm going to tell you in just a moment. Okay, so send a money order, send a check. Don't send cash, please. All right, to our P.O. Box address. Make sure you send, obviously, your name and your size if you want it shipped to you. If you want us to ship you a hoodie, you got to give us your address, and please give us an extra $20 for shipping, okay? If you can pick it up and you just want to pre-order, send in that $50. Send in a note that says, hey, Mama Nelly, I'm going to pick this up when I come, right? If you want first come, first serve. So send a money order, send a check. Here's your address, 540 West Main Street, number 241, Gallatin, Tennessee, 37066. 540 West Main Street, number 241 Gallatin, Tennessee, 37066. If you are sending me a blessing, do not use that address. Okay? The address that I just said is for hoodies only. And I ask kindly that you wouldn't call Mama Nelly about the hoodies, because I'm going to continue to do this announcement on our show so we can keep it well communicated in this avenue, and we can get it to you if you want it mailed, and you can pick it up and pay for it and work all those details out, okay, by sending in your money order and your check. So we're not taking any phone calls in the dining hall about the hoodies. If you've called, you just now got your answer, hallelujah, and you won't expect a phone call back. This was the answer on tonight's show. Hallelujah. Do I have any other announcements? I don't think so. So let's go over to Mother Chris. First of all, let's get a sound check. Say a few words. Say some praises or acknowledgments. And just open up tonight, Mother Chris. Bless you and welcome to the show.
Bless you, Sister Ashley. Thank you for having me on the show tonight. Are you able to hear me?
I hear you very well. Thank you so much. Continue to speak just like that, Mother Chris.
Hallelujah. I'm just so grateful for this opportunity. If anybody knows Sister Ashley, you know her zeal, because I just asked to call in tonight. And so, but here I am on the show with her. I'm very grateful. My acknowledgments for tonight are obviously to the Most High Yah. I'm just grateful for his hand that's been upon me my entire life. I think back to my childhood, and I remember just being different then. And I acknowledge that now is just the Father's part. If only that was just in my mind then, because he always placed in me a desire to seek him, and I'm just so grateful for that. I rejoice in the Father for choosing me to be his daughter. Out of all my family members from Cleveland, Ohio, where I'm from, he called and he chose me. And I wouldn't dare switch places with any of my family members. I'm just so grateful to be as just that one that he chose. And he placed me with true family. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for my head, for my master. I said it before, my favorite person. Even in times of rebuke and correction, he's always just straight down the middle. He's always still my favorite. He's always willing to go there with me so that I can be edified, so I can be better, so I can never grow complacent. He's a righteous pastor. He's a righteous leader. He judges, again, straight down the middle. And more than anything, he truly does love Yah. He truly does love Yah. He truly loves Yah's people, and he puts Yah first, and he puts the saints above his own self. And he gives, and he's given all, and lives a life without shame or condemnation. He's truly free in the Messiah, and he's shown me what it looks like to live that way also. I can't acknowledge him enough. I'm very grateful for my Sister Ajani. She's just so beautiful. She's so happy. She's so joyful. She's just got the best attitude, the best spirit. I love her so much. Excuse me. And I'm grateful for my children. I just want to acknowledge them for making, excuse me, thanks, for making me a better person by making me a better mother each and every day. Bryson, Braden, Braxton, Bria, Bashan, and Bithia. I just love them so much. I'm wanting to acknowledge my sisters here at Goshen. I can name them all by name, but they know who they are. I love them so much. Each and every day is a joy to walk out my door and to see them, to greet them with hugs. They're always smiling. They're always ready for whatever task we have at hand. And our brothers here, the best brothers you can find, no offense to any other community. My brothers, they're the best. They're just the best. And we'll talk about them tonight as well. And of course, our shepherd, Pastor Dow, he pushes and he encourages. And more than anything, from what I can see, he loves above all. And that should just trickle down. And that's why you see the gifts manifesting straightway, because of the love that is manifested from our leadership, Pastor Corey included. I want to thank and acknowledge my sister mother, Mother Carol, and Mother Jennifer. And just to let some sisters know, I've heard people say things like, oh, the mothers are busy, you know, regarding the council. But please, please, speak out of mother, especially you sisters who are community leads. Speak out of mother. Get some counseling. This is what the mothers do. I've gone to Mother Carol and Mother Jennifer countlessly for counsel, for just conversations, just to hear their mind. Please, sisters, don't be somewhere in your community not getting counsel from a mother, because they can truly help you because they've been there. So that's all I have.
Hallelujah. Hey, I'm excited to have you tonight. I really am. And like she said, with my zeal, look, she only asked permission to call in tonight. And I said, oh, you know, saving all the details for you guys. I said, oh, great. We'll just interview you. So let's go. Let's get into it. Around, let's see, maybe it was July 27th, last fifth day, if my dates are correct. We had three brothers from here, Brother Scott, Brother JC, and Brother Brett, roll out, leave the land for the weekend, headed to Goshen, all right? Goshen's in Indiana, and they were going to be there for the whole weekend. So they knew what they were getting themselves into, and maybe you don't. If you haven't seen, if you haven't followed, that's what we're talking about this week. We're talking about what happened last weekend. Hallelujah. So let's go back to July 27th, and let's just say what happened last weekend. What's it called, and what did you see right there on your own homeland, Mother Jennifer? I'm so used to you, Mother Jennifer. Bless you, Mother Jennifer. Maybe I'm supposed to give you a shout-out. Thanks for listening. She's in the chat room tonight. Mother Chris, what happened last weekend?
I'm like, I don't even know if it's safe to say, but no. It was something that was very inspiring. Let me say that. It was something that was not for the faint at heart. It couldn't have been for everybody. That's why it was just a small group that was here. It was in something that was intense. And, yeah, my hat goes off to each and every brother that participated, or my head cover stays on, to acknowledge each of them, because it was Camp Goshen and it was the real deal.
Camp Goshen. All right, tell us about it, and tell us about what Pastor calls him Frogman. Maybe you guys do, maybe you don't, maybe you say Brother Dre. Tell us about him and tell us how it got started. Be free, speak free, and I'll just quiz you along the way. I'm going to pretend like I know nothing. I'm just listening, but I'm going to be the mediator between the audience and you. So freely talk to us, really. Tell us how it went down. Tell us where it started and wherever you want to take us with your notes.
So keep in mind, everybody, this is my perspective. I do not know all, not privy to all of the behind the scenes that had to have gone on. Only what I was included to know pertaining to how we were to serve the brothers that were coming in. So I do not know exactly how it came about. I believe there were some brothers, again, full of zeal, who really wanted to experience something very different, which would have been similar to that of a Navy SEAL experience. And in speaking with Brother Dre, what we call him, sometimes I'll get to that too, I believe that he was just open to that idea, and somehow in between all of that, it came to be.
All right, Camp Goshen, and I think Pastor even said Camp Goshen, when he said 001, which I believe means that there would be a 002, et cetera, that there will be more. But back to you. All right, so some of our brothers traveled, and, you know, the who's don't really matter. It's really more about you know, just having something for the first time and talking about it. Like you said, it's from your perspective, you know, it's from you watching, seeing, viewing, and just experiencing it, getting to serve, et cetera. So tell us more.
Yes, ma'am. So we thought it was interesting at first that it was called Camp Goshen because it just sounds like such like a happy experience, like something you may go to summer camp for. You know, I was trying to include decor. I wanted balloons. Like, I wanted a big welcome banner. And Brother Dre is like, it's not necessarily that type of camp. So we're like, oh, okay. So we realized it was, you know, different than that. Like, I wanted everybody to have, like, little welcome party favor bags, which we did to a certain extent, but it just wasn't at all like I thought that it would be. And so many of you call Brother Dre Frogman, and we call him Brother Dre, like, when he's probably, like, literally one of the most positive people you can meet. I've never heard him say a negative thing about anyone, not that I would, but he's just, like, always willing to help, always willing to take the time to teach and to do whatever he can do on this community or for brothers and sisters that he'll come to other communities to train. So that's when he's Brother Dre. You know, when he's training, he's Frogman. You know, we also call him Teacher Kirkland, which is not – as intense maybe as Frogman, but still slightly terrifying when you're training with him, because he also does train the sisters here on the land. And what I saw going on at Camp Goshen, he definitely seemed to be in his Frogman mode, and it was something that many would not be able to accomplish. So that camp, what was it, 1001 class, they pushed through on another level. It was easily 110 degrees, it felt like. And we made sure from the sisters that the brothers had the hydration that they needed, the food that they needed, you know, but if only we could go out there with fans and, like, like fan the brothers. It was just nothing else that we can do. Like, they had probably 3 or 4 selections of hydration drinks because the heat alone could have taken anybody out. So they endure on a whole nother level.
I was driving up the hill one day. We go to, or we have been going up the hill to harvest green beans at 5 p.m. every fourth day. And we just stopped, of course, because those plants are finished producing. But we've been doing that every fourth day. It works for everyone's schedule. So I'm driving up, and Brother Brett is running with a backpack on. And so, you know, I just kind of drive around him, and I head up, and then harvesting the green beans and small talking with, you know, Tia, and knowing that he was leaving the next day, just, you know, giving him a high five through his wife and saying, man, I saw him running up. She's like, yeah, he's got sandbags in his backpack. And I'm like, wow. And I know one morning I was at breakfast, and it's my first time ever noticing Brother JC looking tired at all. He's very, very, you know, what do they call it, up in his spirit, you know. And it didn't make him down in his spirit at all. You just told me brother was tired, you know. You're allowed to be tired. And, yeah, I ended up saying he's tired, my brother. And, yeah, he said early morning training, you know, early morning training. So that's from my perspective. That's all I knew, is that they were, and that Brother Scott was also a part of it, and that they were leaving. They were going, and I didn't know what it was going to be like. And I got to see, like an awards ceremony, I guess you could call it, or just a certificate passing it out from Frogman, from Brother Dre, to the brothers who made it a success, and, you know, double honor even to those who maybe didn't finish or didn't complete. I don't know names, and it wasn't important to me. That's for the men to figure out. But, yeah, I just want to know from your perspective, I don't know, what was the prep work like before the weekend from your brothers?
Yes, ma'am. So same thing that you saw, we were able to witness here. A lot of training going on here, a lot of miles that the brothers were running with that big, heavy backpack. Excuse me, I don't know the terminologies, but the backpacks with the sandbags in them, early morning, late in the evening, running after dinner, running, you know, before breakfast, just out there getting it in, just preparing for who knows what, because even our brothers here who were training with Brother Dre, they didn't know what to expect either. So you could tell a lot of them were very focused. I remember a lot of the days, Brother Lee is usually very joyful and full of conversation, like during dinner, and he was like more quiet, and you could tell he just didn't know what to expect maybe and was just ready for whatever, because our brothers stay ready regardless. They train all the time anyways. And so this was just another level. You could tell they understood that they were going to be going to another level with this camp.
So talk to me about your husband, Pastor Muir, your master's attitude, and also weave in a little bit of his past experience as a leader and now being a pastor. Talk to me about that for a minute.
Yes, ma'am. My master he has got a go hard personality. Like, he never does things just to do them. Anything that he does, he's going to do it to the zenith. And that's the attitude that our brothers here also have, either adapted or they already had that in them. And now they're going above and beyond anyways. My master has always been an athlete and played at the highest level in the NFL and played in the Super Bowl and, several championship games. So it was times in college where I thought, oh, maybe he might sleep in. It's a snowy day, and he'd be up and gone working out in the snow, in the rain, in the sleet, in the heat. It didn't matter. 2 days. When he played in Texas, it would be 100-plus degrees where he'd have to get IVs, literal IVs, before and after practice. He would tell me about practices where he lost, like, 14 pounds in one practice because that was just how hot and intense they were. So he definitely is going to go hard at everything he does, and that's the mentality with Elder Rob here, same thing. Like, you'll never hear Elder Rob or my master or any of the brothers boast on any of the things they've done. They pretty much don't even talk about them. But I can testify to who I know that they are and the things that I know that they've done. And obviously, Brother Dre as well, it's very seldom that we can get him, or as far as the sisters, to explain to us some of the things that he's experienced. And we would never know, because this is the level of humility they operate in. But these brothers have been through a lot in their experience. No, I can't compare, like, NFL training to being a Navy SEAL or, being in the military where your life is on the line, but in a different type of way. These brothers have also paid their dues, and they know what it's like to go hard.
Do you have anything else that you'd like to say, even about the attitude of Pastor Dell? We had texted, and you had briefly mentioned just the attitude of the leaders, Go ahead.
Absolutely. Just Pastor Dow's tone alone, when we came into the ministry, you can tell, like, how inspired my master was just hearing a man speak in the way that he speaks, and then being able to back it up with the work that he does, and then to understand his military background and where that comes from, you know, his perspective and just being a man, what some people might call that toxic masculinity, but really that's just a man speaking, you know, and that's what I've always seen from Pastor Dow, who reminded me a lot of my father, which is why I was attracted to my husband, because I realized he had that same type of attitude in him when I met him when I was very young. So Pastor Dow has really encouraged all of our brothers and leaders, you know, to be men and, like, you know, to go hard and push themselves and go above and beyond what they thought they would do. Even men who, you know, some people may have counted out in some type of way or decided that they were this type of man or whatever. And you see these brothers excelling and stepping out and building and, working hard and becoming better in whatever areas they have wanted to improve in or whatever. So Pastor Dow is just an inspiration to so many. And I think, again, that's what inspires the leaders to go hard as well.
Talk to me about the love that was expressed on the weekend of July 27th, you know, the love from the brothers as well as the trainers.
Yes, ma'am. So just first and foremost, like, what I saw, what I was just able to see with the brothers when they were doing the get wet exercise, if that's what you want to call it, when they were having to be immersed in that water, I saw them locking arms together. I saw people pulling the next brother up. You know, I saw them, you know, encouraging the next one. Maybe if a brother was lagging behind, you know, I didn't see anybody like, you know, mad or, you know, discouraged by somebody. I saw them, like, really helping each other up, you know. And more than anything, it's the fact that they all signed up for it. Like, nobody called Pastor Dow, as far as I know, didn't call, like, these brothers, like, you know, to make them sign up. They weren't, like, enlisted or drafted into Camp Goshen. Like, these brothers willingly signed up. And they willingly participated. And I think one of the biggest displays of that that brotherly togetherness that we all got to witness was on Shabbat. Because to have gone through all that they went through on that previous day, on Shabbat, they were in there praising like nobody's business. And if you remember, Teacher Shane had preached the word that day, and so we didn't have praise and worship, but we all gathered earlier, and Deacon Samuel played some worship songs, some that we actually haven't heard in a long time, from Straightway, and the brothers were in there just praising the roof off. I have some videos because it was just so inspiring. Like, the day before, they could barely walk. Like, there were brothers coming in that needed help taking off their shoes. You know, it was brothers who had to be, the sisters had to hold their glass so they could get a drink of water. Like, people were cramping up. It was intense. And then to see them this next day worshiping the Father together and that spirit of unity and brotherly love and togetherness, it was just, like, mind-blowing. It was so beautiful. So, yes, that's what I wanted to say about that.
Hallelujah. I'm enjoying it. I don't really have any premeditated thoughts. I really just want to listen, so I don't want you to overlook anything that you thought of before the show. And I do want to ask you just what does any of this even matter for sisters? You know, what's the reflection and what this even means for us at all? Like, why talk about it? Why see it? Of course, you guys were involved, but just from your perspective.
Absolutely, sis. I meditated a lot on this as far as what it means for sisters. And I think about, again, how the brothers were so willing to do this. And it's a bigger picture, like, sure, it's the camaraderie that they'll gain from being together in that first class to do this together. Like, they'll have that camaraderie, and they'll have something to fall back on if, y'all forbid, they ever need to use these skills and whatnot. Because it was obvious that the goal was not to for the brothers to be, like, to be completely, like, torn down. Like, it wasn't for that purpose. Like, it wasn't for Frogman to be yelling down their throats, telling them they weren't, excuse my language, or to make them feel belittled or to make them feel inadequate. That wasn't the goal. Like, it was just to challenge them and give them pretty much that baseline on what they can do past what they thought that maybe they could do. You know, it was to push them to go harder. So, again, if y'all forbid, you know, these are things and experiences they would be able to fall back on, because that's what we hear often is that, you know, you got to fall back on your training. So that's what that was to build them up. And I think about us as sisters, and I'm like, some sisters, you go to the feast, you know, and it's like we're not even willing to wash dishes. You know, we're not willing to do chores and to sign up. Like when people say, oh, you know, the sister sign-up book is still empty or whatever. It's like some of us aren't willing to do simple tasks that we have in front of us. But yet these brothers are willing to put their life on the line, you know, to do things to protect us. And we sometimes, and some sisters, aren't willing to do even the bare minimal. And I just thought that was so sad when I considered that. And just to think, you know, just to ask myself, how willing am I for the task at hand? You know, how willing am I to do the things that maybe are uncomfortable to the flesh? Because even though the brothers did that and signed up for it willingly, it had to be challenging to their flesh. I'm sure it wasn't a comfortable thing for them to be doing in 100-degree weather. I'm sure it was a voice speaking to all of them to try to get them to quit, you know, but they were willing to persevere, willing to endure. They were willing to have been up already training weeks prior. It was just that willingness that they had that I would like for the sisters to think about, in what areas can we be more willing.
I do look forward to, you know, having a feast or multiple feasts, year after year feasts, where we can say that, you know, that something as simple as the dishes was taken care of. So until then, it's going to keep being brought up. Raising next generation of warriors, that's something to think about too, you know, knowing that this is what our brothers are doing. They're setting the blueprint, you know, for what they want their sons to do. How does that reach you, and how does it minister to you, Mother Chris?
Yes, ma'am. I want to comment, and then I'm hoping you can bring in my sister, Ashley Miles, because we've been talking about this as well. But, and you and I talked about this too, like, it's just so important that we just raise our children to understand, like, that they can acquire, like, certain skills to be useful in any type of situation, and just to be willing, again, to be used. And so I think about that with our brothers here, and that's why I said I'm going to talk about them later, and so here's the opportunity, because our brothers in Goshen, like, they have, like, an elite skill, I like to say, that each of them have been willing to teach the children. And so each day of the week, there's a brother who teaches the children the skill that they've acquired. So Brother Jonathan, he teaches radio and communications to the boys. And then, let's see, the next day is Brother or Deacon Samuel. And Deacon Samuel teaches science and foraging and hunting skills and things of that nature. And then the next day, Pastor takes the boys to the YMCA, usually him and Brother Lee, and they would do different kind of workout training type. Oh, can you hear me, Sister Ashley? I just heard an echo.
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you very well.
Okay. So they teach training to the boys. And then the next day is Brother Dre, and he teaches weapon safety, weapons training, and tactical things to the children. And then Elder Rob teaches a boxing class. So I say all that to say, like, they use their skill and they teach the children those things as well. So maybe they're all not good at or the best at everything, but at least they can still use these skills in whatever type of situation. So we talked about, can every son be a warrior? And maybe not every son is going to be on the front line, but every son is going to have the skills that are required to be useful in any scenario. So, and like Pastor Muir said, they're still going to know how to shoot somebody, you know, if need be. So, those weren't his words, so I hope he is okay with the way I said that. But they'll be ready for something in any kind of situation. Like, maybe we don't have a frontline warrior in this particular child, but maybe he'd be better suited off as a sniper. Who can know, you know? Or maybe he'll be the one to run the radio communications, you know, or maybe he'll be the one to be the medic. You just never know. And but we'll never count any son out, because they're all going to be prepared. And that's the way I look at it as a mother. That's the way I desire for, I know the way my master desires for all of his children to be raised. And that would be up to him as well, to find their strength and to help to encourage them to grow into that. But if Sister Ashley is still on the line, I know she has some good points here, and I would love for you to bring her in if you can.
I can, Sister Ashley Miles. I'm going to pull you up. Sister Sakina said it's a rucksack. That's what it is. That's the backpack. Mother Chris, that's the backpack.
That's it.
Ashley Miles, you're live. Can we hear you? Say something.
Shalom. Bless everyone.
Shalom. Bless you. Hey, speak up a little bit. Mother Chris is a little bit louder than you, so I want to make sure your audios are equal. Talk to me, raising the next generation of warriors. Your husband has a son. Give me his mind. Give me his mindset. Talk to me.
Yes, ma'am. Is this better, speaking up?
I can hear you. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, yes, ma'am. So Deacon Samuel, what he very well instills in me is I am to be the nurturer for his seed, and he is the one that needs to be the strong hand. He is the one that brings the discipline. But with that, in my nurture, I need to know that I am helping him raise a warrior. I'm helping him raise someone who is going to have a family and have responsibilities and be a man. So with that, I have to keep in my mind that as I am the nurturer, I'm not the one to baby. I'm not the one to feed into the emotions. I'm not the one to feed into anything that would be effeminate, essentially, anything that I see in myself. I'm not the one to try to feed that into Deacon Samuel's son. I'm the one to be there for him and to comfort him, but always to lead him back into the path that he is a son of Yah. He is a son of the man of war. He is a son of the Elohim of Israel, who are warriors, who are fighters, who are leaders. And very much so what my mother, my dear mother said, I agree with, that
no, not everyone is going to be on the front line. However, there's going to be a time where everyone is called to battle, even the ones that are left behind. You think of the men that were left back to protect the women and children. They still have to protect the women and children. They still have to protect the supplies. They still are going to have that place in their mind, that place in their heart that they're going to go to. And I'm very grateful to be a part of that restoration, to be a part and a mother in raising a son of Yah. I'm very grateful for that. And I can tell, I can see that the way that this world has raised me and has influenced my mind is very toxic to the way that I want to raise any boy, to the way that I'm supposed to raise a son. And I have to get rid of all of that before I'm able to pour into him. I know many a times, especially in the Black community, that moms would baby the boy. And when they see the girl, they're like, go ahead, do what you want. You know, they're always arguing with the girl, but that's the mama's boy. He's always at home. He's always in the house. He's always under mom. And that's the complete opposite of what a man of Israel is supposed to be. He is the leader of the home. So anything that I, like, find in me that would try to influence that in the wrong way, I have to cut off swiftly, because there is no way I can be able to pour into this young boy. And, of course, I know I'm not able to raise a man, but being the frontline teacher, you know, being the first-line teacher, this is the things that I spend the most of time with him. This is the things I have to make sure are not in me that I put in him. So as Mother was saying, yes, everyone's not going to be on the front line, but when you're called, and you're going to perform that duty, and you're going to do it well, as Brother Dre tells us, you fall back on your training. We're going to train them all the same way. And then at the end of the day, if they have to, they're going to go back to being the profession as a gardener. They're going to go back to being the profession as a psalmist. They're going to go back to that, but their first and foremost mindset and their first and foremost goal is to protect Israel, is to think of Israel, is to think of the tribe. And so all of that and seeing what happened with Camp Goshen really made me think about me as a mother and think about me as a servant, think about me as a helpmeet. You know, I was reflecting on watching our brothers go through this. And our level, our as women, as sisters, as helpmeets, as mothers, our level of service and submission, we have to be at a similar high standard. Because when it's time for them to go to this type of war, what are they coming back to? You know, just this weekend, yes, they were still on Goshen. They were still here. They didn't physically go off to war. But when they came back into the dining hall, what are they going to see? You know, when they need water, am I going to give it to them with an attitude? Am I going to see a young boy that he just needs my help? Am I going to shun him? Am I going to say, no, you're just a little boy? You know, all these things, I'm now even the more so putting in my everyday life and speech any kick or any, like, just place of disobedience that my mind even thinks is small, I have to get rid of. I have to completely turn away from, especially seeing these men go through this type of training. Because when they go to that place where their mind can't come back from, they have zero tolerance for disobedience. And we think now that they have zero tolerance for disobedience, which they do, praise God. But it's going to be a different type of level where lives are on the line. And so I strive and I try my best every day to, excuse me, to kill any type of murmuring and complaining in me that would come to serving, that would come to having to raise this boy, that would come to having to help all these brothers and doing all these things. And I really just want to encourage all the Daughters of Zion to think that way, to understand and to get out of you. It's not about us. It's literally not about us. These men, they do all these things. Mother was talking about Pastor Muir. He real life every day puts all the things before him because he knows it's not about him. It's not about the men we see now. It's about the generation that we are helping to raise, the seed that we are so blessed to be able to carry and to have for these men. And we really, really need to understand and see the bigger picture. I hear often from our leaders here, Pastor, Elder, and Deacon, that women, we see so little, and we don't see the bigger picture of everything. And even this
small weekend, it made me see a bigger picture of, yes, this is really what Israel is being restored to. Israel's having an army raised up again, and we're able to be a part of that. But what am I going to bring to it? Am I going to be able to say, yeah, I'm going to put my son in class 023, but what is he going to have to offer? Like, what is there going to be that I'm able to be like, yep, Daddy told me to tell you this, and I did it. Or Daddy told me to tell you this, I kind of did it. I halfway did it. So I really, really was encouraged, and I really, truly believe that every Israelite child, especially every male child, has it in them to be the warrior that they're called to be. Mother and I talked about this generation. They're different. Our boys run every day, a half mile. They're not just doing that because they want to run their lap before dinner. They're getting themselves prepared for something that we don't even know yet. And I'm very grateful and very excited to see and to be a part of it and to really, really, really embrace it, everything that it encompasses. That's all I have.
I like the zeal. I really appreciate it because what I know from just experiences in life is that when you lay your hands on something and when you see it, and when you live it, and when you look at it and meditate and apply it, you know, and you're there, and you're hands-on, and you're a part of it, then you have a completely different mindset from the outside, you know. And I appreciate the mentality that you both speak from as women, because it is introducing something new into the minds of, as you said earlier, hey, we got to get a lot of things out of our minds, a lot of things. What happened this weekend would be something the world would call extremism, you know, having a very extreme view or extreme activity, something very intolerant towards others, you know, very radical perhaps. I don't know what they might think or say. And so it goes to show how much opposition, you know, would be in the minds towards something that was manifested this past weekend. So I appreciate what Deacon Samuels put into you, and I can hear it come out, and of course from Mother Chris as well. I don't know, Mother Chris, is there anything you want to ask Ashley?
I wanted to say something else along the lines of what Ashley was saying, and just thank her just for speaking that, because we have conversations often, and our masters and the brothers really show us their mind and what they instill in the children. And so I just appreciate just hearing it come from her on this platform as well, because it can really help to shape the minds of the mothers in raising these warriors. So thank you so much, Ashley, for that. And then I want to just add regarding these sons who maybe have been counted out as warriors. And I think about our brother here, Brother Antonio. And if anybody knows Brother Antonio, you probably know him from the Goshen hits and the songs that he's written that encourage us all. And we call him here a psalmist because that's what he is. He just, Yah will put songs in his heart, and he sings all the time, and he can just change the mood just by walking into the room. He's always laughing, he's always singing, and he's always just meditating on the goodness of Yah. And I love that about him. And maybe somebody may have not considered him as your typical warrior because you might consider him a psalmist, but he finished that class and he did it, you know, and was just encouraged. And I think about that. I don't know Brother Trey, singer of Yah, but I know he's Brother Trey, singer of Yah. But again, he got an award at the end of the class for, I think it was called the Honor Man Award. So maybe people consider him a singer, but he's also a warrior as well in his own right. So I think that we put people in boxes, and I think that what Camp Goshen has taught us is that you can't put a box on these men who have the zeal of the Most High. You can't, because, you know, Yahweh is a man of war, and so are his sons in their own right.
Well said. All right, so, Mother, Ashley, I'm just going to mute you. Don't hang up, okay? Just hang on the line. I'm going to mute you for just a moment. Thank you very much for what you said, and the chat room is also blessing you as well for very, very concrete and truly encouraging silver words from Sister Ashley, says Sister Candace, and a few others saying hallelujah and beautiful words. Grateful for the Goshen hits, says Sister Jasmine Teemer, hallelujah, and a few touching agrees on those Goshen hits from our psalmist. So how do we need to hear and think, okay? And that seems broad, so let me say, how can we hear and think? Not comparing locations, not comparing brothers, not comparing sons, not comparing communities. How can we hear and think without those comparisons? If we have, because we have not done what you guys have done. I can't tell you on this day, brother so-and-so teaches the boys this, and this day, brother so-and-so teaches, like, it's nothing like that here. Jump to another community, and you might not be able to say the same thing. It's all being taught differently, right? One mind, different functions and operations of the gifts. But how does someone who's hearing this, who's not a part of the nucleus that you speak of and live with, how can they hear and think, honestly, and keep encouragement in their own hearts and homes without their sons or even their husbands being a part? Because you know where the mind goes, Mother Chris. Talk freely.
Yes, ma'am. I mean, there was a time before we were on community. It was a time when we, you know, lived in our suburban neighborhood, you know, where we didn't have much fellowship. You know, all I had was the examples that we would watch from Help Meets and from Straightway Air, and we would just do what you did. You know, whatever we saw you do, we did that. You know, so when I would go to Straightway, and we did a training once with Brother Gideon there, and then I went home as a mother, the first line teacher to my husband Steve, and we went home and we did those same trainings at home. We would walk down our street. We would go to the park, you know, and we would practice, you know, the same things that we had learned from Brother Gideon. So, you know, whatever it is that you have seen or whatever it is you have learned, you know, you can do to the best of your ability to teach that to your children. You know, whatever it is that you do know, whatever you hear pastors say, you know, whatever it is their father would have them to know, make sure you go at it the hardest that you can, you know, teach them so that they can be who their father is calling them to be. The skills that you see that they have, go hard at those skills that they have, like the strength that they have, help them improve those strengths. The interests that they have, help them to expound on those interests. You know, go to the library, check out books, watch videos. My master's oldest son, he loves to watch war videos. You know, like, I don't know, whatever it is that they're interested in, help them to grow in those skills, and just do the things that you see or you hear the leadership talk about. Emulate those things with your children.
That is a really, really good answer. Hey, let's hear a song. We'll be right back. Got your thoughts, any of your notes, Ashley? I'll come back to you as well. You guys can wrap it up. We can take as much time as you desire for this show, of course, but get your head together, anything that you haven't said that you want to say, and we will be right back. Thank y'all for tuning in tonight. It's been a beautiful reflection.
Thank you.
Mother Chris and Ashley's on the sidelines. Deacon Samuel's wife, Ashley Miles, is on the sidelines. So, Mother Chris, tell me something that either came to mind or that you haven't talked about yet about your Camp Goshen experience or whatever's on your heart.
Yes, ma'am. So, I wanted to talk about some of these. I asked the brothers, my master, and Elder and a couple of the brothers here, like if they had anything that they wanted to reflect on or share with the sisters. So I do have some comments and reflections, testimonies, short ones to share from some brothers here.
Yes, please. We'd love to hear it.
So I'll just start with my master, Pastor Muir, and he expressed that his reflections from Camp Goshen just start with the fact that good leaders make more leaders, and that's what you see with Pastored Out, you know, and that's what you see on down here, that good leaders make good leaders, and they see things in us that we can't see. They're visionaries, and there was a brother who my master called the X Factor here, and he was maybe one of those brothers who you didn't know a lot about. You didn't know, like he didn't come with maybe a report of like a Brother Scott necessarily, you know, but my master looked at him and was able to see him as the X Factor, and it motivated him so much that he was able to push through, and he said even when he wanted to quit, you know, or he thought to quit, he was able to push through and remember what was spoken over him from the beginning, that he would be the X Factor. And he ended up being awarded with some award at the end as well, maybe most improved, I think it was. And my master also said that good leaders put people in positions to be successful. You don't set somebody up to fail. You set them up in a place where they can be successful, and you let them thrive there. You find their strengths, and you allow them to, this is in teaching, and teaches that skill to others. So where they're strong, you allow for them even to go further and teach others those skills. And so that really motivated me to hear him say that, and I think that's what one of the aspects that we see here on the land, and we saw that carry through with Camp Goshen. And another good testimony, and Elder Rob is right there with Pastor. He's always behind the vision, and he expresses very similar sentiments as well. Hallelujah. I also have one from Brother Lee, and Brother Lee says that you can only love so much from a distance, and it takes for us to actually grow through things, to know each other, and to grow together. So that was what that experience was like for him. These brothers will be forever bonded through that experience. And he said physically, you know, you can get closer through that type of training. But for those of us who maybe don't have a Camp Goshen, especially sisters, like, we don't have a Camp Goshen. But spiritually, he says, you can go to war with your sister through deliverance. You can go to war with your sister in prayer, you know, in fasting. You know, you can, like you said, you can warn the spirit. You can be vulnerable with somebody. You can confess things to one another so that you can be healed. And you can really allow for yourself to gain a sister or a brother or gain a friend even by being vulnerable in those situations. So that really encouraged me to hear that even though we as sisters probably don't have that type of experience that we can go through, nor would many of us probably desire to, just because that's a brother thing right there in that way. But spiritually, we can go there with one another. So that was so encouraging to hear. And then also I have some questions that Brother Dre answered for us as well. So shout out to Sister Janice, my beautiful sister, his loving Ashaya, who has really just really put herself out there really to work with him as far as training is concerned, being new to all of this. And I see her thriving and growing in that role as well as a trainer for the sister when she's with her master. So, but basically, Brother Dre answered the question of what can a mother train their son to be good at if they aren't necessarily a warrior. And his question or his answer was very similar to the ones that we provided here on the show. But he said, just like we all aren't meant to be shepherds, we all aren't meant to be warriors on the front line necessarily. So find their gift and assist them in cultivating it. So, and then I asked, what should the sisters take from Camp Goshen and apply? And he says that teamwork is forged in adversity. Anything you would like, and then I asked anything that he would like to add about the experience at Camp Goshen. And he's just taken back by the support and love and everyone who's helped with the logistics, crushed it, brothers and sisters. So he says that Camp Goshen is something like it is a small milestone on the path of a warrior. And he's humbled by the inspiration that it sparked. But he says that inspiration fades when no one is watching the stage. So, hallelujah, that's something to meditate on. Those are the testimonies that I have right here, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Let me jump to Sister Ashley really quick. Hey, Sister Ashley, I'm bringing you back up. Can you hear us?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, so just putting you on the spot a little bit here, what is Deacon Samuel's takeaway? I have an email. Should I read it now? I'm just now thinking of that. Should I read his email now, or is there something that just you want to share that comes to mind listening to the brother's testimonies through Mother Chris Ashley before I go to the email?
You can read the email, yes, ma'am. I would say Deacon Samuel has the same sentiments as every brother that mother just spoke about.
Hallelujah. One mind. All right, so taking you back off, you're back on mute, okay, and I'm going to pull up, let's see, Deacon Samuel honored us with his reflections via email, so here it goes. And he said, Shalom to my Elder Rufus and Deacon Bell, abundant blessings to your houses. All right, once again, this is Samuel Miles. He says, everyone is a warrior. Every straightway Israelite man is commanded to be a warrior by Yahweh Elohim to protect his family and his tribe in whatever capacity that he may be able to do. The goal of Camp Goshen is to give men an opportunity to push themselves beyond mental limits and to establish a baseline of intestinal fortitude for the future, whatever it may bring. When I say every straightway Israelite man is commanded to be a warrior, think of our faith as a whole. Yah is a man of war. He commands us to think, speak, and behave as he does. The Messiah came to destroy the works of the devil, and as the word says, he made an open triumph over the host of hell through his sacrifice. That's an act of war. So if the Messiah is dwelling in us through the Holy Spirit, and we know that Yah is a spirit, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, that same warrior spirit is imparted into each man, and what he does with that gift is up to him. Looking at our ancestors in history, we are a warrior people. While you would have men stay back at garrison and barracks to protect the supplies, the women and children, these men were still soldiers. There was nothing wrong with these men, and righteous men did not look down on their brothers because they weren't too faint to continue fighting. King David even rebuked these sons of Belial for trying to withhold the spoils of war from their brothers in 1 Samuel 30:9-10 and 21-26. There were also laws concerning warfare in Deuteronomy 20, even instructing them about the ordering and the numbering of those who would go to war, Numbers 1:20-46. Obviously, those that were too young or too old at the time were not counted among those who would go to war naturally, but look at the battles we face today against a very formidable adversary in Satan and his host. That is a spiritual war that is never ending. There are levels in the military for a reason. It does not diminish a man for being an infantryman and not in a special force. Look at the men with King David in 2 Samuel 23. Details the chief warriors of his army. 30 mighty men were chief, but within that group, 3 were chiefest among the 30 because of their superior skill. Look at those who are extremely skilled in spiritual warfare. Shepherds, elders, teachers, deacons, heads of assemblies. We are all charged to fight the good fight of faith and to press on no matter what situation we find ourselves in as men, no matter what medical issues, setbacks, or life circumstances. The mindset is to find, search, claw, and scratch to find a way to be better than we were yesterday through obedience and mastery of the flesh and to get the upper hand on our enemy, Satan. We are constantly at war, so training men to understand that, as Shepherd Dow says, you get to the mind through the body or mental pressure. Camp Goshen is simply a microcosm of life in general. There are mental pressures and physical pressures in serving the King of Glory daily that must be overcome. Through much tribulation shall you enter into the kingdom. Camp Goshen is a short time frame to apply much mental and physical pressure in order to birth perseverance, determination, and fortitude in a man that he could constantly go back in order to achieve the greatness Yah has instructed him to obtain both naturally and spiritually. Is it for everyone? No. It's not for various reasons, such as medical issues or even age, but it should be used by everyone as an inspiration not to settle for mediocrity because Yah deserves so much more than that. Blessings and shalom, Deacon Samuel. That is a mic drop email. It's my first time reading it on purpose. I received it before the show, and I saved it for the show. Mother Chris, you want to, give accolades and praise to Deacon Samuel and talk to me about him for a minute? I could go to Sister Ashley, but, you know him. You know him, too. Talk to me.
Hallelujah. Of course, I'll say something about our beloved Deacon Samuel. We call him House Dad, not as much anymore now that he's deacon, but he's just all-encompassing. Like, he's so much to us. He means so much to us here. He's never not serving. He's never not working. I'm sure you know what that looks like, Sister Ashley Bell, being a deacon's wife. I feel like a deacon is a deacon is a deacon. Like, they're always serving. Every time we come to the feast, I'll ask the boys, I'll say, what does Deacon Bell do when we get to the feast? And they'll say, serve. And I'm like, okay, that's what I need y'all to do. That's just what a deacon does. That's who a deacon is. And that's who Deacon Samuel is. He's always serving. He's always teaching. He's always got his tool bag. You know, in the morning he's working when we get up, no matter what time it is, and when we go to bed at night, he's still fixing something or doing something on his list. He was just up on the roof today, and he'll probably be doing that tomorrow, along with the other things that he does. He's, from what I can tell, he's a great father. You know, he doesn't hold back, you know, with excuse me, any of the children. He fathers and loves just like he would his own. And yeah, we appreciate him. We can't say enough to how much we love and appreciate Deacon Samuel here at Goshen.
Hallelujah. All right, Ashley, I'm pulling you back up, all right? Area code 708. Ashley, for the last time tonight, Miles pulling her back up. Thank you for calling in, Sister Ashley. Thank you for supporting the Most High's work at Goshen. Just, you know, wanting to be the pinky nail. Bless you. End the show from your end before you hang up. End it from with any thoughts, any takeaways, anything that's come to mind while you've listened tonight.
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley. Just on my end, I encourage everyone, as Casimir encourages us, just love the brethren. You embody the whole law with love and truly, truly, truly seek after love every day. Charge yourself in the morning. I'm going to love my brothers and my sisters and to just smile.
Hallelujah, love and smile. And love them when they don't love you. For everybody out there who's not, you know, in a what would you say, in an easy circumstance, right? Love, it's a command. Hallelujah. Blessings to Deacon Samuel's household, to all leadership from Sister Carla in Canada, and powerful words from the chat room for our beloved Deacon Samuel. Sister Ashley, thank you for calling in tonight. Tell him thank you for the email. Maybe he heard the show, maybe he didn't, but bless you all for the work you got going on there in Goshen. Give him a hug for me and a high five to Elijah. Bless you.
Yeah, bless you.
Hallelujah. That was a good email. This has been a good show. Mother Chris, I'm not rushing you, but I got to ask you something that's going to, you know, put you on the spot. Are you ready? Oh, no, right?
Yes, ma'am. I'm ready.
Hey, hey, I'm not going to be with you guys next week, August the 10th, and I'm looking for somebody to stand in my stead with Mother Jennifer. Will you go on live next week, too?
Yahweh, I'll be there.
Yahweh, hallelujah. There you go. My Jennifer, if you listen, Yahweh, she's going to get permission, ask for it anyway, and see how it goes. So you guys might hear from Mother Jennifer and Mother Chris next weekend, next fifth day. I will not be on the show. Hallelujah. Mother Chris, thank you for everything. Tell me something else, anything in your notes, or even if you want to end it and wrap it up, just keep the flow going. What you got?
I'll end just like Sister Ashley did, you know, just to encourage the sisters to just keep on loving, keep loving each other, like really strive every day. I tell the sisters here all the time, because this is what I tell myself, this is what my master tells me, like, the gifts don't work without love, you know. We just need to strive to love more, to love harder, to really consider others greater than ourselves, you know, to never look down upon anyone or think you're better than anybody. Like, just love. Even if you find your sister in a fault, you know, it's not an opportunity to consider yourself above her. You know, encourage your sister. Decide when you wake up in the morning, when you have your time with the Father, you know, when you're in the Word, when you're in prayer, decide then that you're going to go out of your room and you're going to love no matter what. You know, when you walk out the door, decide that you're going to be the same every day. Be consistent. Be the same every day in a good way, you know. And hug your sisters. Brother Lee taught us that years ago. It's more spiritual than you think. Hug every single day. Every time you see your sister, don't let it be, oh, you just saw her. It's Johnny's. Before dinner, I saw Johnny's, and he and I talked, we hugged, we spoke, and then I saw her 30 minutes later at dinner, and we hugged again. So never get tired of showing love to one another, because that's how the gifts truly manifest. That's how people get healed. That's how you lay hands and a person is healed. Nadia laid hands on me the other day. I was very sick, and I did not feel well. And she laid hands on me, and she prayed, and here I am on this show today. So bless her heart. You know, if you truly can manifest love, you can really truly manifest the gift of the Most High.
And from Sister Wenda in Canada, she says, nice to hear you encouraging us all, Mother Chris. Thank you for your wise words. Bless you. We'll wrap it up tonight's show. It's been wonderful to speak with Mother Chris. She's very real, and real even to me, you know, in a very intimate way. I appreciate that. I appreciate just where you're at with the Most High, and the growth is exponential. With Goshen, with you, with your husband, you know, with Pastor Muir, for me, he was in the background for a few years, just laying low, you know, just truly serving and loving the Father and soaking in the Word and studying or whatever he was doing, because you guys were a part of us, and he was just, you know, he wasn't heard. Maybe he was seen. He was definitely known just from his past experiences, but it was just very, very humble. And when it was time for him to be appointed, it was just very, very evident. You know, when he started coming with the Lion's Den, you guys got to laugh with me for a minute, because I told Mother Chris it would be great if I came on the show tonight and I said, hey, we are having a sisters show tonight in Goshen, in their dining hall with Mother Chris and the sisters live there at Goshen. So I'm going to end this show now. And you guys jump over to YouTube and check them out live. Hallelujah. Bam. That was in a perfect world. That's what I wanted. And, of course, you know, she laughed with me because she's coming on this show. And I'm interviewing her. That's what we're going. We're sticking with plan A, right? But anyway, I just, hey, isn't it Brother Dre that does the menus on Lion's Den and the drawing in the background?
Brother Dre does the lion drawing. When you see that most excellent lion, I'm sorry, I said most excellent, and I thought about my sister Alex, and I want to give a shout-out to her because I love her so much, and I haven't seen her yet today, so I just want her to know that I'm thinking about her right now when I say most excellent, because that's her term that she's coined. But that most excellent lion on Lion's Den is by Brother Dre. And the menu that's written can be either Sister Ingrid or Sister Janice or whichever sister has written it for that day.
Hallelujah. I love it. It's part of the visual, you know, that I can't wait to see. Like, what did they eat today? What kind of simple meal did they eat? And they took it to, like, a royal menu style, you know, with their diced, chopped, smothered, covered kind of wording. It's really awesome. What is Mother Jennifer and Mother Chris going to talk about next week? Y'all willing? Send in some emails. Send in some questions for them. Chat with the mothers, right? Send in or type in the chat room for the next 1.5 minutes because we're wrapping up the show. What do you want them to talk about? I'll snap a picture of it on my phone and send it to Mother Jennifer. What do you want to hear? You know, make it easy for them so that they know how to reach you and how to connect. What is it that you're hungry for? I bless you, my sisters. It is an honor to get close to any and all of you from a distance or up close, because without the Most High's work and restoration, we wouldn't be in our roles or in our place, and we wouldn't have relationships with other women. We would be like the world and very distant, very perhaps jealousy or shady in our behaviors, very offended by nature, very, very masculine or very separated. So he deserves the glory. Hallelujah. I want to say shout out and blessings to those who did conquer, you know, I almost said Mount Goshen. Y'all got a mount too, but Goshen Camp. If Mother Chris, if Pastor Muir decides, and maybe that's something he's working on already for his YouTube channel or something, but if you'd like to send any videos or pictures, if you want to kind of put a collage together, a slideshow, Sister Aya, she works on that stuff for us. So if that's something that he wants, we'd like to make that happen, just to make that memory and put it out there. Truly a beautiful show from Sister Carla. Bless you. To all my international sisters, to everyone who's not live on this show but wants to give you a shout-out, we all say we love you and bless you. Hallelujah. And, hey, Mother Jennifer, here's one. She'd love to hear more conversation on loving, even when they don't love back. Hallelujah. That's just the Jasmine Teamer saying, how about loving when they don't love back? All right. That would be an honor. Sister Aya, bless you. All praises to Most High Yah. Mother Chris, end the show.
Stay busy. Stay holy. Bless y'all.
Hallelujah. Bless y'all.